hand could have struck with such accuracy. Only the hand of God can aim that straight with such force and accuracy. Or perhaps he was thinking about the time when King Saul hunted him down like a fugitive, like a master would hunt down a runaway slave. But still, God kept him safe from all harm and danger. Or maybe he was thinking about the time when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed. And after Samuel told him a story of a rich man who had many sheep and who took a poor man's only little lamb and killed it to feed his guests. And after David declared that the rich man's punishment should be death, but then the prophet Samuel told him, "You are the man," and yet God spared his life. My brothers and sisters, there could have been any number of reasons for David penning this psalm, but we do know that he was reflecting on the goodness of God. And so I'm not really sure about what he was thinking about when he penned this psalm, but the point I'm really trying to make to us this morning is that worship is a reflective, objective experience that is an outgrowth of reflection or thinking about God and his goodness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look back and remember how many times in my own life I could have been killed when I was out there going crazy in the streets, when I was overseas in the jungles of Vietnam, but God's power twins of goodness and mercy brought me through and kept me safe. I just can't help myself. I got to give him some praise. I got to praise him and thank him for his goodness, because not only did he save my life, Reverend Smith, but he saved my soul from a burning hell. And so I just can't help myself. I got to praise his holy name. And if if you really want to experience worship this morning, you need to start thinking things over and see just how far the Lord has brought you. For instance, maybe you were defiling your body by putting some stuff in it that was harmful, but Lord still allowed you to be here. I recall some years ago when a young basketball player with an extremely promising sports career, he put some cocaine in his body, and the impact of that drug on the young man's heart caused him to have a fatal heart attack.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege of ministering your word. Let those things that you shall say today be governed by the Holy Ghost. Let him open up our understanding, our hearing. Let us receive these principles and then practice them for profit, that you might receive the praise, and that we, the people of God, may give you all the glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13. I just want to focus on that one verse. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, recorded are these words. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Just want to speak from the subject, Jesus blesses the children. Jesus blesses the children. Bringing children to Christ is very important. When a child is saved, not only is a soul saved for eternity, but a life is saved from waste. And then when we look at this text and understand how important it is to have people saved, but more importantly, to begin that point of salvation when they are children, God gets more glory and they get more of the good that God has prepared for his people. What a wonderful thing it is for every parent who has had the privilege and the ability to bring their child or children to the Lord at an early age to be impacted and impressed upon their lives by the power and person of Jesus Christ, to be able to influence them in a positive and powerful and prolific way. How wonderful it is for parents who have reared their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. How wonderful it is for those parents who trained up their children in the way that they should grow, so that when they grew older, they would not depart from that training. How wonderful it is for them to know a Savior at such a tender age. I will dare say to you, my brothers and sisters, one of the problems we have in our society today is that children aren't introduced to Jesus early enough. And if you would look and if you remember those of us who may have been in the time when people who knew God and loved God knew that children coming to the Lord was not an option if they were reared in that house. They didn't have a choice in whether or not they went to church. They were going. And the only question they may have had was how many times are they going? But they were going. Because you had God-fearing parents who loved the Lord, and they found themselves in the service of the Lord, the work of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, and the fellowship with the saints. But very seldom do you have that these days. And so the impact of the world is more pronounced on the children because they've not been introduced to the Word or the personification of the Word in the person of Jesus Christ. First thing I want us to look at, and there are three things I want us to see in this verse before us today. The Bible says, and they brought young children, listen, to him. First thing I want us to look at is these parents saw opportunity. Opportunity. They saw the opportunity here because they recognized Jesus was in their town, in their area, and they had a chance to bring him or them to him that he might touch them. Opportunity is seen in two ways in the text, and one of the ways you'll see is because, again, of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was such a powerful and prolific figure in his day and time, and everywhere that Jesus went, crowds grew. And as he would pass through or get word that he was coming through a certain town, folk would throng the highways and byways to get a glimpse at Jesus, and in hopes of maybe hearing a teaching or being touched or healed or delivered by him. But there was excitement about Jesus, and there was excitement about his ability to heal and deliver and to set men free. And so there was in every town, every hamlet, every place, every city, wherever there were people, and even where there were none, even in the wilderness, they would find their way to meet Jesus. Here are some parents who are excited about their child being in the presence of Jesus, though young. And the word says young, meaning these were little children. These were children who had to be brought to Jesus, not necessarily children of full age. And so as a result of that, these children represented parents who represented a desire that their hearts, that their lives be touched by the Savior of the world. And so it was paramount to them that they bring him or them to him while having this opportunity and not knowing whether they'd have another. Now look again at what the Bible says, because it says, and they, it wasn't just one parent, it was many of them, brought young children, plural, so it was many children. But notice who they brought them to. Not to the disciples, but they brought them to him. Their purpose and their focus was something greater and grander than bringing them to those who were around him. They wanted Jesus in this matter. I want you to see something else, because when they had the opportunity, it was for this objective. And objective is important, because it doesn't matter if you have an opportunity. If you don't know objectively what to do with it, you really won't make good use of it. So that's why the objective for the opportunity is right in the text. And look at what it says, that they should be touched. Listen, that he should touch them, that they should be touched. That was the objective of that opportunity. Could you imagine if today, and of course we know that Jesus will not come back the way that he came originally in the earth realm. When he comes back this time, matter of fact, he hadn't even touching down on planet earth. Those of us who are going to meet him, going to meet him in the air. But let's just suppose for a moment we were back in that day when Jesus was traveling, and we believed in the Lord and we desired the things of the Lord, and we found out Jesus was coming to Baton Rouge. Now, I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. If you had heard, if you had seen, if you had witnessed, or if you had experienced any part of his ministry, or anyone who had experienced any part of his ministry, and you knew that he would be able to change lives. Yes. And listen at this here. Most times in these kind of situations, the mother brought the children, because the mother was more of the disciplinarian and the caregiver of the children. Father was the protector and the provider, et cetera, et cetera. And most times it was the women again in the crowds, et cetera. So assuming these were mothers, can you not imagine? And most of them were mothers who were homemakers. And so they had the time. They took the time. They meditated upon this. They said, you know what? I want the Lord to touch my child. Yeah, yeah. And some of them might have had children like we got, and say, no, the Lord's got to touch my child. If we gonna travel as far as we got to go, because he needs to touch this one and that one, and you know he needs to touch these children. But notice this now. Notice this, because they are altogether set on bringing him or them to him, to Jesus. They're not concerned about those around him. They want him. They don't want indirect contact. They want direct. They don't want nobody who's touched them to touch them. They want him to touch them. I know he can anoint them and let them go on and do their job, but these women were so sure. And I got to let you know that Jesus meets you where your faith level is. See, some people don't have to get the direct touch from Jesus. They can get the anointed touch that's been given by Jesus, and it'll do just as well because their faith is of a level and at a place where they realize the power is the power. And if it is the power of the Lord and he gives it to whomever he wills, when they touch, it's just like him touching anyhow. But some people want a personal touch from the Lord, and I got news for you. He ain't got a problem with that. And that's what they wanted, and the disciples became indignant about these women who had a desire and objective to have Jesus touch their children. Wanted him. And you know how sometimes folk just kind of don't understand that the Lord meets us where we are, but man doesn't always do that. And Jesus understood this situation, and other writers speak about it, and they make clear how Jesus interrupts and intervenes in the situation and gives them what they desire. But look again at this word, because I want you to see, I told you it was an opportunity. One was because it was the presence of the Lord. The second was because of the age of the children. Get them while they're young. Touch them while they are touchable. Impact them while they are impressionable. Meet them and reach them at that young and tender age. You take clay, and it's easy to mold clay as long as it's soft and pliable. But if you let the clay harden too long, it becomes like rock. And if you try to mold old clay, it starts to crumble and break in your hand, and what you could have done when it was soft and pliable will not be the same when it's old and settled. Have I got a piece of witness in the house? See, that's why the Bible tells us, admonishes us to train up the child, listen, in the way that that child should go. It doesn't never say train up a man. Some of you have missed the childhood stages and got men living up in your house as your sons, and you trying to make them act like children now when they're old and grown. And when you miss the opportunity to have them touched, taught, trained and transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ as children, it becomes so much more difficult when they become older and set in their ways. Even trying to train them at teenage years, yeah, is tough. Anybody got some teenagers, know what I'm talking about? And you rear them in the church. I mean, they get to those teenage years and the impact from the world and peer pressure, man, you got to remind them of who they are and whose they are. You got to remind them who God is in their lives and to their lives. You got to remind them of the influences within against the influences that are without. You got to remind them if all that don't work, they still got to answer to you. You got to put some show enough training back in purpose in their lives for many of them to get what you're saying. Because at that age and stage, the old folks say they're smelling themselves. I know that might not be proper to say to some of y'all, but old folk know when you get to that point and you can start talking back and looking back and rolling your eyes and twisting your lips and acting like you ain't listening to what I'm saying. They've got ways to remind you, I may be old or you may be a little taller than me, but I can remind you I'm still mama, I'm still daddy in this house. Our cultural experiences are different from other cultural and ethnic groups. And so sometimes you got to just be real with your children. How Miss Mary down the street handles little Johnny is her way. Little Johnny, I don't want to have to tell you one more time. It's going to be time out if I have to tell you one more time. And you know, little Johnny might get that, but Pookie ain't trying to hear that. You done told him 20 times already. And you got to speak the language Pookie knows, because if you don't get Pookie quick, Pookie gonna get you. I wish I had a witness. And that's why you got to realize, you got to meet them where they are. You got to treat them the way that it ought to look. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. We're not in that place. Now, some are fortunate to be there, but others who are not, keep it real. How many of you came up in that time where they would take straightening combs and extension cords, broomsticks, anything they could put their hands on? You didn't talk back the moment you opened your mouth meant pop. You didn't sit there and listen to grown folk conversations like children do today. And they didn't say that. My children sit in and participate in grown folks' conversation. That ain't the time that I grew up in. No. But we have lost a lot of things. And so children aren't reared where they're introduced to Jesus at an early enough age where they are impacted and imprinted by his rule, by his word, by his way. And so the opportunity was twofold, in that Jesus' presence was there, but two, in that they were young enough to be touched and challenged and changed by the Lord. But again, I told you, point two is the objective, that they should be touched, that he would touch them. Now again, it's so important to realize that we want to bring our children to the arts. And there's nothing wrong with that cultural experience. I believe that they all ought to have that experience. You know, they want to make sure that they are in athletics and they are academically prepared, and their academia excels all of the others so they can get free scholarships and all the rest of that. That's wonderful. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They want to introduce them to society's elite, superstars, movie stars, all of the folk who are supposed to be somebody. We want to make sure that we introduce them to the finer things of life. Give them the experience of having a heads up experience on the average child. Nothing's wrong with that. But when you don't feel that way about Jesus first, you're setting your child up for failure. Because with all of those things that you introduce to them and you do not bring them to Jesus and introduce them to Jesus, none of those things can save their soul. None of those things can make them whole. Yes, they may be cultured, but they are cultured sinners on their way to hell, and nobody but Jesus can save them. Nothing wrong with introducing your children to the finer things of life, giving them a heads up advantage. But the best way you can do that is by introducing them to Jesus first. Ain't nothing wrong with, again, making sure that they have the privileges that your livelihood provides. But I got news for you, Hannah Montana and all the rest of those fun young children and idle age, you know, personalities cannot ever sow into their hearts and lives or give to them the direction that only the divine can give. And so when we begin to recognize this and realize this, it ought to be that in all of your getting, you get Jesus. That was their objective, to get him to touch them. But look, and I'm almost through with the verse. Look again at what it says. And they brought young children to him. That was the opportunity. And the objective was that he should touch them. But now that we've moved from the opportunity to the objective, I've got to introduce what was the problem, and that was the opposition. Look at what the opposition is. And his disciples. And his disciples. We're talking about the opposition now. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. and his disciples.
Come on now, come on.
You know, it's a sad thing when the people around you aren't on the same page with you. It's a sad thing when those who are supposed to support you and be an extension of you do not carry the same message, have the same passion, desire the same results, and are willing to do the same thing that you're willing to do. And his disciples, not the enemies, and his, he who transferred his trend of thought into that thinking so that he could equip them and prepare them to take over his ministry when he would leave planet Earth, so they could continue on in what he had begun both to do and teach. He saw that they rebuked them. Jesus steps up. What's going on here? The disciples are like, wait, ma'am, take your baby, get on back. Jesus ain't got time for all that today. We got business to take care of. Ma'am, could you and your baby get on out the way? Ma'am, you and all them cheering you got, could y'all just move on out the way? Jesus ain't got no time for this kind of stuff. We got real business to take care of. Jesus was appalled at the fact that the men closest to him didn't really know his heart, did not feel his spirit, was not connected to his people like he was. I want you to see what the word says. Verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. How can you miss this? For such is the kingdom of God. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this. Verse 15, he says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He says, man, y'all got this thing twisted. He says the children represents the humility of one's heart when they come to a Savior who can save them as only he can save them. No matter how old you are, how grown you are, you've got to humble yourself as one little child. Just as a child does when they are brought or when they come to Jesus, so must anyone and everyone humble themselves in such a fashion. And you're turning away the greatest examples. Can I tell you, it's easier to bring them than to have them come on their own? I think I'll say it again. I said it's easier to bring them than it is for them to come on their own. By the time they decide to come on their own, they've gone through so much life and then missed it and then been knocked down and been beaten and battered and almost destroyed. I mean, till at that point in time, they've suffered more stuff that they didn't need to suffer if they had been brought to Jesus early. No, I'm not trying to say that everybody that's brought to Jesus lives a perfect life, but they have a better chance of it. I'm not trying to say that every preacher's kid, teacher's kid, deacon's kid, whomever the church person's kid is the best kid on the block in the school or wherever. No, I'm not trying to say that. God knows I'm not trying to say that. I mean, you know, sometimes the worst kids in school are teachers' children. Teachers, ain't no sense y'all looking at me all crazy. Y'all know I'm talking the truth. Supposed to be setting examples. Some of those children, I mean, they not. Some of the worst children in church are the preacher's children, deacon's children, deaconess's children, officer's children, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not trying to say they're going to be perfect, but you give them the opportunity to live a better life, an opportunity to see how it's done right. When you bring them to the Lord and you bring them into the place where they can get understanding about how this word operates and in the larger context, how this world operates. And so that they'll be wise enough to see Satan coming. or if they've been caught, trapped, or hit by them, to recognize who it was who did it and to get up from that place of that fall and come to the Lord in that place of repentance. And so when you recognize, my brothers and sisters, the opposition was the closest people to him. The closest people to him did not come from his enemy, but from the men who were supposed to be the uplifters of his arms. The people who knew that he came to seek and to save that which were lost, because he sought them out.